Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend, along with my host, Molly Matthew. I am, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm all right. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world of sports. You know, we're going to talk about Tim Tebow, signing a minor league deal with the Mets. We're going to lead off with that. Talk about Jets and Giants opening up their seasons. Giants, is going to face the Cowboys, Jets versus Bengals. We'll get into that. Talk about the Mets and the Yankees as they both make their pushes to return to the playoffs. Talk a little NBA with the NBA Hall of Fame that went down with a lot of notable first ballot Hall of Famer guys on this list. And of course, last but not least, we're going to talk WWE, give our predictions for tonight's, pay-per-view event, Backlash, which is the first pay-per-view event that's going down, since on the unfortunate events that happened 15 years ago today, and we'll get into that much later. But to stay on the same topic, as you all know, today is now September 11th, 2016, which officially makes it 15 years, exactly 15 years, since the unspeakable, improbable acts of the terrorist attacks that happened, in New York City and in America, where thousands of people lost their lives 15 years ago today. My heart goes out to the families still, because every day for them is 9/11 being replayed over and over again. And as a matter of fact, looking back, I met you, obviously in school, just a few weeks before 9/11 went down. So,
A few months before 9/11, yeah, we met.
No, actually, it was because we met in August, and September 11 came.
July. Yeah, like a summer session.
Oh, right. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, like a summer program.
Yes, you're right. I forgot about that because I thought we just went straight into school. You're right. We did meet before that in the summer. Right. You're absolutely right. My fault. But yeah, I remember one day I was about to leave home, go to class, and we were watching. I was watching TV at my house, and basically because we had my family, this was just before we had cable, so we only had the regular channel. So we were watching regular TV, and it went off. We didn't know what happened, and then we were flicking through the channels, and basically we saw on CBS that, the unthinkable happened, of the terrorist attack. I mean, up until this point, not even a villain in an action movie would have thought of something so dastardly than to crash two planes into, buildings, much less the, iconic World Trade Center. The Twin Towers. And I was just in shock, watching a landmark get destroyed, but more importantly, thousands of lives being dramatically affected forever. And it was unbelievable, man. It's me just thinking about this, and I was even planning on talking about my personal experience, but I just felt compelled, talking about 9/11, because I was basically just going to, briefly touch on it. But, what can I say? It's, my heart goes out to the families and all the people who lost lives and all the people who are just directly affected by it, because obviously we're all affected by it in some way or shape or form. Do you remember 9/11 when it happened, went down for you?
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, I remember getting ready to go to school, and I had the TV on, and I was also listening to Howard Stern in the morning, and I heard it on Howard Stern first, and they said, "Oh, mm-hmm. So something's happened to the tower," and I was like, "Oh, what happened?" And I turned on to look on TV. See, the tower's on fire. There's smoke coming out of it. Like, damn, that's gonna take a lot of work. You need a lot of firefighters to put that out. And so I leave my house, not thinking anything of it. I'm thinking, okay, they're gonna have to do some repairs to the tower because it's caught fire or something. And then when I get to school, I realize that the tower fell, and then another plane hit the other tower. Like, what the hell happened? Then I'm hearing from people it was a terrorist attack, all sorts of different types of rumors. I was just shocked, man. It was disheartening to see and hear, what happened. I mean, it's one of the days I'll never forget.
I hear you, man. And Yeah, we've known each other for 15 years, and I don't think I've ever never crossed my mind to ask you your thoughts on that. So, thank you for sharing that, man. I know this wasn't planned for the show for us to share our thoughts, but I appreciate you, you know, giving your feedback, because it never crossed my mind to ask you that, you know, ever out of all the years we've known each other. So I thank you for that, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, before I move on to, you know, the, you know, sports news, I'd be remiss if I don't touch upon this stupid controversy involving the 15th anniversary. And of course, you're talking about the mattress commercial where some people trying to get their 15 minutes of fame do a mockery of the whole 9/11 thing, stacking mattresses up high like a tower, saying, you know, basically it's a twin sale, and then they had some of the employees in the commercial fall and knock the tower of mattresses down. You know, I mean, it just it was really, you know, like I was telling you earlier today, man. You know, it's despicable. I mean, I'm not a sensitive person by any stretch of imagination. I'm not politically correct. But that really offended me. I mean, it really takes a lot to offend me. But that was really offensive. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. Being, oh, maybe they meant another way. Maybe it's not the Twin Towers they were mocking. Maybe they could have been talking about something else. You know, maybe it could have been a reference of the old Ghostbusters movie or something. Nope, it was a deliberate act of mocking a serious event. They were using 9/11 to make money off this. I mean, it's just despicable what the lengths people will do to get attention. You know what I'm saying? It's
very distasteful.
I mean, it's disgusting, man. I could spend a whole episode, this whole show, talking about you know, their idiotic. Whoever was the idiot who came out with this idea mocking, you know, 9/11 just to make a quick buck and to get famous. I mean, it just goes without saying. It's just uncalled for. But excuse me. Let's move on to the news. The news I was gonna plan on leading off the show, you know. And of course that's you know, Tim Tebow. He, obviously, you all know, he had a phenomenal college career with the Florida Gators, won two, you know, NCAA titles with that team. Then he played for the Broncos, won a memorable playoff game against the Steelers. Then he, you know, would later on be traded to the Jets, where ever since then his career went downhill. And he tried to try out with the Patriots, but he didn't make the club. And as a result, he's been trying to come back to baseball. I mean, rather football, all these years, ever since he got, I think, released, being on, you know, trying to make the Patriots. I think this was in 2013, if I remember serving right. But yeah, so basically, you know, since then, you know, he became a commentator, you know, for the SEC network, you know, partnering with ESPN. But now, you know, it was just revealed a few weeks ago that Tim Tebow was planning on going back into baseball, a sport he played prior to just fully committing to football, college football, and obviously the rest is history, as, you know, as they say. So basically, there's a bunch of teams interested in Tim Tebow. So, you know, honestly, I thought he was going to go to the Braves or you know, another small market team. Even Sandy Alderson himself, when they were talking about, because, you know, basically Mets were among one of the teams that were scouting him, you know, checking him out to see, you know, if there's some potential in him being a baseball player, you know, potential MLB you know, player. So when Alderson watched, you know, he was joking around saying that, you know, basically, he doesn't, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but the paraphrase, like he was saying, like, you know, he doesn't think they're looking to make a Hail Mary pass or something like that, you know. I guess, you know, questioning the validity of Tebow, you know, being able to, you know, make the transition from football to baseball, as some players have done, you know, most notably, you know, Brian Jordan, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, Drew Hansen was another one. I mean, the list goes, you know, on and on of people who've done both sports. I mean, even Jackie Robinson, even though he didn't play football, he played it, I think, in college and played track and field. And, of course, you know, he made it to the big leagues after he played in the Negro Leagues. And by all accounts, baseball was his least best sport. And obviously he went into the Hall of Fame, you know, as a first ballot Hall of Famer in 1962, the inaugural year of the Mets. But going back to the, you know, modern-day Mets, basically Sandy Alderson, from that time period, his thinking of Tebow must have changed, because clearly he shocked the world and signed Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow has a chance to potentially in a few years become a New York Met if he lives up to the potential. By all accounts, you know, people are saying, you know, he looks like he has, you know, some power. But whether or not he can hit consistently and field consistently to become a big leaguer, that remains to be seen. So the million-dollar question is, how do I feel about Tim Tebow, you know, a guy who played briefly, you know, for the Jets. And thanks to Rex Ryan,
now I'm
his Wildcat offense, you know, he didn't really do anything as a Jet. But what is my personal thinking of Tim Tebow as a Met? I guess the jury's still out. But what I say is, you know, I cautiously give a thumbs up, because here's the thing: if he's not good enough, he's not going to make the team. Period. He's not going to make the club. They don't owe anything to him. You know. Yes, you know, he has a cult following ever since, from, you know, his Gator days. And yes, he's a good character guy. You know, he's strong. You know, he's very passionate about his Christian faith and, you know, doing charitable work. So he has the work ethic and the personality to be given a chance to, you know, potentially be a big leaguer. But ultimately what's going to make him a big leaguer is whether if he could hit a fastball, you know, consistently. So I say it's a high risk, low reward. I mean, rather, I reverse that. A low risk, high reward. Because if he can't hit, he can't perform, you cut him. He doesn't even have to go to AAA. Before he can even go to the Las Vegas 51s, you know, the Mets AAA affiliate, if he can't cut it, by the time he gets to AA, I mean, he's a distant memory. You know? He'll go to another minor league, some other team, and try to make it there. But if he does,
you know,
make
this
it...
This is like...
Oh, what were you just saying? I apologize.
Oh, no, sorry. I was saying that, you know, this is kind of like when Jordan went to baseball for a year and a half and played with the White Sox minor league team. And, you know, Jordan, you know, he didn't play baseball for years. And when he played baseball again, he stuck at it. I mean, his numbers,
no, absolutely,
his average wasn't that bad. But he struck out a lot. And, you know, he just didn't have the talent that other baseball players, you know, have, you know, around him. So I don't know what Tim Tebow, I don't know if it may take him maybe a few years for him to put up some decent numbers in the minors. I mean, I don't know if that's still going to be enough to bring him up to the majors. You know, I don't see him batting 300 or hitting 30 home runs, 100 RBIs anytime soon. But I think he could be a decent player for the Mets if they ever decide to call him up, maybe even a pinch runner. You know, I mean, he's definitely an athletic guy. There's no question. But, you know, the million-dollar question is how will he perform, you know, batting or even in the field if ever is called up.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, I think it's worth a shot. You know, he's a character guy. You know, if he can hit, he'll make it. If not, if he can't hit field, you know, he's not gonna make it. Period. I mean, the Mets don't owe him anything. So, I think it's worth the risk. See what you have with him. If he's not good enough, don't call him up. Just release him, trade him to another minor league team and see if he could cut it with another team. So that's my thing.
You know, word on the street is that the Braves were interested in Tim Tebow, and the Mets decided to swoop in and take him away from the Braves. That's what I heard.
What? That's a possibility because, like I was saying earlier, I thought he was going to sign with the Braves, you know, to be honest with you. But another reason why people think the Mets signed him is because he has the same agent as Yoenis Céspedes. So they're thinking maybe, you know, they want to maintain a good, you know, relationship with the agent, you know, and, you know, I guess they took a flyer on him because of that. Some people think ownership might have pressured, the Wilpons might have pressured Alderson to sign him, you know, to maybe, you know, make them maintain good standing with, you know, Céspedes' agent. So we'll see if that was the case. Mm-hmm. Alderson denies it. He doesn't think that they signed him, you know, for marketing reasons because, you know, Tim Tebow is a very he's a fan favorite, you know, because, he has like an underdog kind of personality, hardworking kind of guy. And according to him, it wasn't a marketing ploy. You know, they used him because they signed him because they feel he has some potential to be a big leaguer. How good he'll be. Do I think he'll be a, like you said, 30 RBI, 100 RBI, 30 home run, 100 RBI, like star, like a superstar guy? Nah, I don't think so. I think he'll be a decent guy, you know. Probably what Daniel Murphy was before the postseason, you know, of last year, basically.
Yeah.
You know, a decent player, hard-nosed guy, you know, a grinder type player, basically. A leadoff hitter, possibly. I don't know if he has he has the speed for football. I don't know if it will translate for baseball, you know, but we'll see. I mean, shifting gears with the New York Mets right now, you know, they were on a roll. They won, I think, what, 5 or 6 in a row. DeGrom, he's going to miss a few starts. Gesselman didn't really pitch that good on Friday night, but for the most part, him, Lugo, Cologne, you know, they pitched well during this stretch. Syndergaard as well, and you know, the Mets bats were heating up, and I think today was the first day that the Mets offense with Reyes, Céspedes, and Reyes, Cabrera, and Céspedes batting 1-2-3. This is the first time this year that they lost a game when they're batting in that order. So they probably, let me do the math in my head, probably 12 and 1 or 13-1 since they put that that 1-2-3 combination together. And apparently those guys are cool, you know, behind the scenes. So, you know, if you just see them in the game, you can see that they have that camaraderie with each other, with Cabrera, you know, snatching the home run, the helmets off, you know, anybody who hits a home run, you know, off their head, and, you know, they're celebrating on the field. You can see that they really have that camaraderie? Will it translate for a late postseason run? Hopefully, a World Series championship. That remains to be seen. You know, I hope so, but they have a lot of injuries, and Terry Collins just, in my opinion, it cost them the game Saturday night because, he didn't pinch run for Wilmer Flores after they tied the game 3-3. And Wilmer Flores injured himself on a collision, diving head first, trying to knock the catcher out, and he injured his head. So it remains to be seen how serious the injury is. You know, after this show, I'm going to check out if they have a diagnosis, you know, about Wilmer Flores' injury. But it seems like he's not going to be playing for a while. Might even be on the DL.
Man.
But we'll see what happens.
Long time to get for this to happen.
Yeah. So, Granderson, prior to tonight, he hit a home run in four straight games. He has 26 home runs. He's starting to heat up. Cespedes, I think he has 29 home runs. Bruce has 29 home runs. But obviously, most of those home runs were with the Reds, obviously. The Mets are playing well lately. I mean, they fell to the Braves 4-3. Prior to that, Friday night, they held on. They came back multiple times against the Braves and won six. By the final score, 6-4 against Tehran, you know, their ace. And as a result, Familia keeps extending his franchise record of 48 saves. So the Mets are going to try to get the rubber game later today at Turner Field, the last ever game at Turner Field. Hallelujah. And I can't wait to see them demolish that stadium, because that stadium has been a little house of horrors for the Mets. When I see that stadium and stupid annoying song, all I think about is Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, and Brian Jordan. So as soon as hopefully we can win this last game, and then we could just end the horror of the Mets ever playing at Turner Field ever again. And I can't wait.
And the game tomorrow.
But, hopefully they can win the last ever game at Turner Field. But we'll see what happens. But here's the Yankees. What was I going to say? Your guys are on a roll. They won seven straight. And give us a little thoughts on that, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Yankees are on fire. Seven in a row. Bats are hot. You know, they've been playing hotter than a lesbian orgy. You know.
Okay. All right. Kids listening.
but I mean, these guys, you know, after all those trades, you know, people thought the Yankees gave up. But, you know, since bringing up these kids, you know, these kids have kind of invigorated this whole organization, brought some energy. Gary Sanchez, you know, was named Player of the Month in August, American League Player of the Month.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just continuing to hit the ball, and he had a home run and a – another RBI today to help the Yankees defeat the Rays for their seventh straight win. And right now the Yankees find themselves half game back of the wild card spot for the second. Well, I guess it's the first wild card, or it might be the second. But and they're only two games behind the division. So Yankees, like, are right in this thing. You know, when we thought the Yankees were done, you know, we were wrong. They're right in there.
If I remember correctly, I think I was probably one of the only few people in the universe that said, you know, history has shown me that you should never count the Yankees out until they're officially eliminated. Because I've seen the Yankees win, I've been a fan baseball / Mets fan since 99. So I've seen them win three times, and I've seen them have many chances of winning, potentially winning other titles, you know, during that span. But yeah, the Yankees, you can never count them out. I mean, they had obviously 78. They had that Bucky Dent home run that propelled them to the playoffs, and obviously, you know, the championship that year against the Dodgers. And trying to think. And, of course, just a few years ago, I think you guys were, down what, 14 games behind the – maybe it was 11. I can't remember the number. It was between 11 to 14 games behind the Red Sox. And then you guys came back and won the division.
Yeah.
Was that 2003? I can't remember what year that was.
It wasn't 2003 or 2004. I'm not sure what year. But Yankees, I mean, this year it's, you know, if we're able to make the playoffs, maybe we could make some noise like the Mets did last year.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with both teams. And, of course, shifting gears, the NBA Hall of Fame went down earlier today. You had congratulations to Allen Iverson, Yao Ming, Shaquille O'Neal, and Cheryl Swoops. Awesome class. I mean, that is a legit NBA Hall of Fame class ceremony induction right there. And do you have some footage for us?
Yeah, sure. I'm playing a clip of some of the speeches from Yao Ming, Shaq, and Allen Iverson.
When I heard that I would be the first speaker in tonight, I think maybe somebody made a mistake. Don't laugh, because I think this spot belonged to great Allen Iverson. You know why? Because I need more practice than him. And last but not least, the great Kobe Bryant, a guy that would push me. Kobe Bryant, a guy that would push me and help me win 3 titles in a row. It also helped me get pushed off the team and traded to Miami.
The Philly fans.
Awesome, awesome thing. I'm going to have to catch the full, Hall of Fame ceremony. Obviously, you heard from, Yao Ming, doing a joke on the infamous Allen Iverson practice promo from back in the days. You also had Shaquille O'Neal talking about his relationship with Kobe Bryant. That was toxic at the time, but, fortunately they reconciled their relationship, now looking back, But that was a funny line from Shaq as well. And then you had Allen Iverson, giving props to the Philadelphia 76ers fan, where he had his heyday and basically – put the 76ers on the map for the first time since their, Dr. J days, like in the 80s. So shout out to all these inductees, they're all well-deserving. And
yeah, congrats to them.
Congratulations. And shifting gears to WWE, where Backlash is going on, I'm trying to remember what matches are going on. Obviously, I know there's the Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles match, but there's a six-pack match for the women's title. Becky Lynch is in it. Alexa, I'm trying to remember her name.
Bliss.
Alexa Bliss, right, exactly.
Alexa Bliss.
Right. There's Carmella, who formerly of with Enzo and Kaz in NXT. I think Naomi is in that match also. Natalya. Trying to think who else.
Nikki Bella.
Nikki Bella just returning, right? Let me see. I think Becky's gonna win it, but then I could easily see Nikki winning it too.
I think they'll crown Nikki. I think Nikki will win it.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're gonna say that, but I think you're right. I'm gonna play it safe too. I'm gonna pick Nikki to win as well. But it would be interesting to see Becky. Yeah, because I don't think they're gonna put the title on Becky right now. So yeah, I agree with you. I think Nikki's gonna win it. Plus, she's now a baby face now with the crowd reaction she got, at SummerSlam. So yeah, I think Nikki's gonna get it. Not to mention she's dating John Cena right now, so it doesn't hurt putting the title on her.
Yep.
And plus she's improved, over the years. So yeah, I definitely
see much
her.
Better.
I definitely see her getting the title back. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna put the title on another former NXT person this soon. Let me see what else. What other matches are there? There's the tag team match. There's the American Alphas. They got injured, so they can't advance. They're eliminated thanks to the Usos turning heel. So I think it's Usos versus. I'm trying to think.
The Hype Brothers.
The Hype Brothers, right. Mojo Rawley and whatchamacallit, and Zack Ryder. I think the Usos are going to win that match, and then they're going to battle who's the other group they're going to face off?
Heath Slater and Rhino.
Right, Heath Slater and Rhino. That's going to be the final right there. Usos are going to retain, and they're going to give... Because they right now they're trying to make us think Heath Slater is and Rhino's gonna win because they really got popular. Heath Slater is like over, like never before, and that skit, I don't know if you saw the skit of him and his family because this was like apparently
funny.
This happened. It was hilarious, with him and his family, his whole entire family. Yeah, it was a hilarious skit. So I think they're gonna give Shane and Daniel Bryan are going to give him a contract, even though they lose to the Usos. What else match? I'm trying to think. What other matches are there? Darn, I know.
Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. Randy Orton's going to win that one to redeem himself, even though Bray Wyatt really needs a win in the worst way. Bray Wyatt really needs a win in the worst way. But I think... Randy Orton's going to win again. He's going to redeem himself after that beatdown he got from, Brock Lesnar. So Randy Orton wins that. Let me see, what other matches are there? Can't think of any, but I guess I'll talk about the AJ. Oh, what are you going to say?
Miz versus Ziggler, that's the only other match.
Yeah, Miz is going to retain, hands down. And basically, I think... AJ Styles will defeat Dean Ambrose. I'm a fan of Dean Ambrose. I like AJ Styles as well, but I think this is the time AJ Styles is going to win the title because, he just defeated John Cena. There's only one way but up, and the only thing he could do now is win the title and then make.
I think Dean will retain. I think Dean will retain it.
I hope Dean retains, but I think AJ Styles is going to win it and maybe even have a new Bullet Club. Maybe MVP might make his debut or some people we don't foresee coming to form the new Bullet Club. The new club. So I think AJ is going to win it. What do you think? You think Dean's going to retain?
Yeah, Dean will retain.
All right. Well, you have anything last you'd like to say?
Check out my show IMAX, Saturdays 11. Come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend every Sundays at midnight.
Well, you heard the guy. Check out Backlash later tonight. Should be interesting. But most importantly, check out Max Show IMAX every Saturday at 11 p.m. Of course, come back here Sunday at midnight, check out this show, Sports Are Gonna Be, with your host, Wayne Ramo, and of course, McCall Matthew also. So, I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode, Sports Are Gonna Be, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.